And we're going to start with the scripture from Psalms. This is our kind of our touch point. You make known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I feel like I should go sanitize now. I'm well trained. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Christ in me. Path of life. Good news. And that's the title of my message. Joy. Good news. Good news of great joy. Sorry. Can you mute me for just a sec? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So today, we are on the third week of Advent, and you know, it's interesting, just in some conversations I've had this week with people, that we're not a liturgical church. In other words, we don't follow a set pattern of what we preach. And there's good to having liturgical things. There's good in that too, but there's also the freedom that we have to just speak as the Lord puts something on our hearts to share. So when I say that, we last year decided to do the Advent wreath. And not growing up in a liturgical church at all, I have no idea, truthfully, how it all works. And I remember for many years I worked at the Catholic School District in St. Albert. And I asked my coworker what the Advent was all about, you know. And she says, oh, well, we light candles and read scriptures, and it's about Christmas. And I said, oh, well, what, you know. But that was really all she could say, because it was so traditional for her. It was just something they did. And the way she was sharing it, it didn't have a lot of passion for her. It was just like putting up a Christmas tree, and it's something nice we do, and it's fun, and we do it. And there wasn't the purpose for it. And so I want to draw our attention again to the idea that we're doing this with purpose. We started with Jeanette back when she was sharing on hope. And weren't you inspired? And weren't you touched when you heard about hope? And we lit that candle and we focused on our hope, Jesus. And then last week was peace, and Ralph shared, he shared that testimony about from that pastor who was Muslim. And, you know, he read the prophets. He read the prophets, and then he saw that Jesus was the fulfillment. We think of Muslims, and we think of those that we're at odds with, that there's not peace between us. But the Prince of Peace came into that man's heart and changed his life, and is changing the Middle East through his bringing the good news, bringing the peace of God. And then this week, we're going to speak on the joy. We're looking into the joy. And when we look at these Advent candles, first of all, some of them come with color. There's supposed to be three purple ones, one pink one, and a white one. And the purple ones are for the peace and for the hope and for the love, which is coming next week. And the white one is the last one you light on Christmas Eve, because it represents Jesus and his purity. But then there's this crazy pink candle. Crazy pink candle. Only other than the white one. It's pink. It's pink. I'm wearing pink in honor. Because of joy. It's bright. There's more to the story behind it, but I didn't get it, so I'm not going to try and repeat something I didn't quite get. It had to do with Vespers and stuff like that. You can research it yourself. Google it. We'll Google it. But it's about the joy. It's also known as the shepherd's candle. And so this morning, we're going to look at the shepherd's candle, this unusual pink candle. And we're going to start by going, we're going to look at the story in the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation just to mess with you. It messes with me because you know how you can say certain scriptures by rote, and it kind of it challenges me when I have to read it in a different translation. So I have to sometimes think a little bit because already I'm saying the wrong word. Not the word that's in the new translation. So we're going to start here. That night in a field. That night in a field near Bethlehem. And we're going to stop there. Didn't get very far, did we? That night in a field near Bethlehem. So what's the whole idea? Like, we just think, well, this is just Luke sharing the story, sharing the facts. But there's much more to it if we let the scripture speak to us and let the prophetic word come. Luke states this as a fulfillment in the prophecy from Micah. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, is that pronounced Ephrata? Ephrata, Ephrata. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from the ancient times. This little area, this little section of fields, has got a prophetic pronouncement on it. Bethlehem and the fields that surround it. This space or these fields are the same area where people would walk through on their way from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. It was known as Ephrata, that space between. And around this area in their ancient stories is the story of Boaz. You know, the man who married Ruth the Moabite. Ruth, who was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, who said when she came back to Bethlehem, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because I'm bitter. Look what the Lord has done. Blaming God. And if you haven't read Ruth, I encourage you to read the book of Ruth. It's awesome. Because what does the book of Ruth have to do with joy and the Christmas story? Well, let's think about this. Here's the story of these two women in their sad state. And they come into this back to this land, Boaz, where they meet, who is the kinsman redeemer, and lifts them both out of the pit. Naomi, the Israelite, and Ruth, the Moab, or the Gentile, with a kinsman redeemer who takes them out of their despair and their poverty. And when Ruth and Boaz marry, she gives birth to their son, Obed, and lays him in the arms of Naomi, who is filled with joy and her bitterness is gone. You see, this story is a type and shadow of Jesus, the son that comes and is laid into the arms of Naomi of Israel, the Jewish nation. And when they receive him, the joy that's going to fill their hearts. But who's the bride? Ruth are. We are. The Gentiles who bring forth this new life. Now here's the thing. Ruth gave birth to Obed. And Obed's was the father of Jesse. And who's Jesse the father of? David. King David. The one God made the promise to. That through his family line would come the one. The kinsman redeemer. The savior. Who would sit on his throne forever. And in this place, this little land that surrounds this little Bethlehem and the area around it, Ephrata, is mentioned because it comes with promise. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with them in the beginning. Ancient times, Jesus, who always was, always will be. Right? Then there was Jacob. Jacob was before Boaz. Jacob, who is now called Israel, as we heard Ted share this morning, who struggled with God. Israel, who has just buried Rachel, who has died from after giving birth to Benjamin. And it says in verse 21 of Genesis 35, Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. Now, Migdal is the word tower or watchtower, and Eder is the flock. This Migdal, let me show you a picture of it. This is what it looks like. It's a watchtower for the shepherd. The lookout was on top, and underneath the structure, the main floor there, was where the lambs were birthed. And scripture from Micah again, maybe, says, this is where Israel pitched his tent, close to Migdal Eder, where the watchtower was for the sheep. In Micah 5, now let me cross that out. It's not Micah 5, it is Micah 4:8. I apologize, I didn't change the address there. It says, as for you, watchtower of the flock, or Migdal Eder, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem. A prophetic word again about the fields of Bethlehem, that out of this watchtower, this place where Jacob had pitched his tent, where Boaz had planted fields. This area has significance. So let's read on. Verse 8 from Luke 2. That night in the fields near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. Watching or abiding. Or some translations will say living in the fields with their sheep. Which they did during the time of the birthing of the lambs. So we're kind of understand something's going on. The shepherds are living with their sheep. They're out there with their flocks. They're out there at night being with them. Why? Because their ewes are giving birth. Here's where this watchtower, this Migdal Eder, comes into play and fits in with our story. It's believed that these sheep that were in Bethlehem were ones raised for temple sacrifice, which required the firstborn lamb. Oh, we're singing. Angels. So the first required, the requirement of the sacrifice was a firstborn lamb without spot or blemish. It is thought that these shepherds that were out there could have been temple shepherds who were looking after the flocks that were for this sacrifice. And they needed to be there and ready when the ewe delivered, because sometimes a ewe would bring forth more than one lamb. And it was the firstborn that was required. So they needed to be there to catch this lamb and tag it somehow, identify it, to be the firstborn. Not only that, but these were to be spotless, unblemished lambs. So they would catch these lambs before they even hit the ground. And they would clean them up and they would wrap them in swaddling clothes and lay them in the food trough filled with soft straw until they settled down and kind of came gently into the world. And then they would unwrap them and put them back with their mother to feed. Because these were the sacrificial lambs. And they wanted to make sure that they didn't wobble and fall and get bruised or break a leg or something like that. So these shepherds understood what this was, these sacrificial lambs. They were there ready for the birth. Now let's keep reading our scripture. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them. I think that's the next one here. And said, suddenly, angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the fields in a blaze of glory. And the shepherds were terrified. I know that's not the scripture up there. That's our next scripture. And I'm sorry, if I'm out there just doing my thing, watching the sheep, and the light sky lights up all of a sudden. Well, in our generation, we say the plane, helicopter, but there's like, you know, you're not expecting that. It's terrifying. They're terrified. What's going on? And then they hear the voice of the angel. Then they hear the words. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Do not be afraid, for I am coming to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it's for everyone, everywhere." Don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news. Sorry, here goes my nose this morning. I've come to bring you good news. How many of you wake up every morning and run to the TV to hear good news? Turn on your radio to hear good news. Well, it just depends on where you have it tuned to, right? What do you have it tuned to? So when we get up in the day, what are you tuning yourself to for the day? The good news? Because in spite of all circumstances, in spite of the world with its fear and its struggles and all that goes on, we have good news. And we need to remind ourselves daily. We need to remind each other daily, have you heard the good news? And it's either yes or tell me about it again. You know, when I was a child and we'd go visit grandma and grandpa, we loved to hear their stories of the homesteading times. Grandpa, tell us that story again. You know, the one about the horses, Dixie and Flossie. He loved his horses. We loved to hear his stories. Tell us the story about Auntie Hazel and the rooster. Tell us the story. And are we doing that with each other, with the greatest story we've ever heard, with the greatest news that we know? I was reading the word this morning, brother, and you know what the Lord said? He said, "His mercies are new every morning." Hey, sister, did you hear that? Every morning, his mercies are new for me and you. Ah, thank you, Lord. Because I didn't have a good night last night. I said something I shouldn't have. Kind of got bickering at somebody about something. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy for me is still there. Forgive me, Lord, for letting myself go that way when I have a God so good who could step into that and bring peace. Thank you, Lord. Oh, what joy fills my soul. Here we are, shepherds at a field, terrified, and all of a sudden, don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news. The most joyous news the world has ever heard. Now, don't forget, the nation of Israel is waiting. They're waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for that promised deliverer. They're looking for him. It's got to come sometime, right? Aren't we? Aren't we looking for him? Aren't we looking for the return of the Lord? It's got to come sometime. And this news is for everyone, everywhere. Here are these little shepherds out there. And again, we don't know if they were priestly shepherds for the flocks, for the temple. But they're shepherds who know. They're Jewish shepherds who know the rules and regulations of temple sacrifice. And they're out there. And they're waiting for Messiah one day. He's got to come one day. The nation of Israel is waiting. And the angel says it's for people everywhere. It's not just you. children of Israel. It's for the world. It's for people everywhere. Good news for us, right? Good news. Joyous news. Okay, let's move on. Then the angel says, for today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. No doubt what he's coming to do. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer is born. How many of you have needed rescuing? Not just from our sins, but from just stuff in life at times. Yes, of course, from our sin-filled life, but beyond that, he's the rescuer that comes into those situations where we need wisdom, we need peace. We call him Jesus, but we call him Counselor. We call him Emmanuel, God with us. I can't remember all the verses, Keitha, but I thought, perfect. I love it. Yes. Here he is, and we sing about it. We sing his name because he's the one who brings joy. Then the most incredible thing happens, and I want you to remember what we've just talked about. Magdal Eder, that watchtower, that place where the shepherds watch out over their flocks, and then beneath birth, the newborn lambs. And here's what the angel says to them. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. Do we understand why it's a miraculous sign? Because you will find this baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a feeding trough. That isn't just, you know, unusual because we don't put babies in feeding troughs. Babies got wrapped in swaddling clothes and things. But they understood this is more than just a poor couple who didn't have a place to lay their baby. This is more. This is part of that prophetic word talking about what this child is. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb. Those shepherds know this. Like I said, even if they're not the priestly shepherds, because we have nothing that identifies them one way or the other. That's just a thought that they could have been. But they know something when the angels say, here's that miraculous sign. This baby is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the feeding trough on the soft hay. Because he's without mark or blemish. He's the chosen one. He is the Lamb of God. Then it says, then all at once the heavenly sky, a vast number of glorious angels appear, the very armies of heaven. And they all praise God, singing, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. For there is peace and good hope given to the sons of man. We have peace with God because of Jesus. We have such a hope. Not just, I love how the translators here is, good hope. Not just hope, but good hope. And they're singing from heaven. And I don't know about you, but I imagine those shepherds couldn't help but join them. I'm sure they were overwhelmed with the glory of God. Have you ever been in a place where the presence of God is so thick you're overwhelmed with his glory? Yeah. And if you haven't, I pray that for them, Lord, that they experience the overwhelming presence of your glory. Oh, Father, it's so good. And here they are, singing with the angels, glory to God in the highest. In the highest heaven. For there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men. Now, has anybody here been hatched by a lizard or brought here by aliens? Okay. And if you are, Jesus can still save you. But this good news is for the sons of men, and we all are the sons of men, sons and daughters. Oh, this good news, this joyous pronouncement that has just been made. When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go, let's hurry and find this word who was born in Bethlehem. And that word means Rhema. In fact, when you look it up, that's the word. He is the living word, the rhema, the manifestation of God's promise, who was born in Bethlehem. And let's see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. Oh, man. Lord, let us open our eyes to see the promise, to see the miracles that are right before us. Think about these shepherds. They didn't sit around and say, hey, let's just take a few minutes and we're just going to meditate on this for a little while. And let's think about what the angel said. And just, no, they said, let's get up and go see what the word has done, what the Lord has done. Let's go see this living word. Let's get up and go and find out for ourselves. I want to challenge you this morning. When you read or see God's word, or before you even see it, do you get up and go and check it out for yourself? You know, we all have Bibles. You can have them on your phone even. You can put them up on your TV if you want. And check out the word. Go see for yourself. What is the Lord saying? Excuse me. And see it manifest here in the earth. They ran off. They didn't. Let's go. Let's hurry to find the word and see for ourselves. So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the feeding trough. There he was, just as the Lord had said, fulfillment of this promise. They heard the angel say, and this will be a sign. And there he was, this tiny baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough. Wow. Their hearts. What would your heart be like? Not only did you hear the word from God, from angels, oh, wow, holy crow, that's pretty awesome. But then you run off to find it, and it's exactly what the Lord said. He's faithful. He is faithful to his word. I need a wooden pulpit. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his words to us, folks. He's faithful. And we want to open our hearts to his word, to him, and say, give me eyes to see, Lord. I want to see. I want to see your fulfillment of your promise. Verse 17 says, upon seeing this sign, the shepherds recounted what had happened. Everybody who heard the shepherd's story was astounded by what they told. You know, sometimes we think of Mary and Joseph way off in this little cave or little shabbily stable, and nobody else is around. No, that city was packed with people. This little gal gave birth to a baby, and there are people around who helped. I don't doubt that. It's just not listed in Scripture. And we have our traditions where we've created things, but there are people around because, hey, these shepherds came and they were telling the people, look, this is what happened. This is why we're here. We were out in the field and the angels came and they started saying, oh, and they told us about Jesus. No, they told us about this baby and he was going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh, yeah, and he's the Messiah. He's Yahweh. He's the one we've been waiting for. Oh, yeah, did you know that, you know? And they weren't quiet about it. And the people were astonished by what they were told. Because the people also knew the laws of the land. The lamb without blemish. They knew those things. And it says, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. Oh, the joy. The shepherds returned to the flocks, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said. Oh, my goodness. Just like the angel had said. This joy of the shepherds, this exuberant joy. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is Yahweh, the Messiah, and he's for everyone everywhere. The shepherds started terrified by the angels, but soon joined them in singing. And the shepherds hurried off to search for themselves the word given by God. And then they saw the miraculous sign. It was true. And they couldn't contain themselves. They told everybody about what happened. And as they returned to their flocks, do you think they went back unchanged? No, they were ecstatic and praising God. Now, you know, we have spent a lot of time this morning focusing on the shepherds. But I want to wrap it up by focusing on the one shepherd. The one the shepherds were ecstatic about. Jesus, our rescuer, our Savior. The one who came to show us the Father and then die for our sins so that we could be with the Father. How amazing our Heavenly Father is. What it cost him to send his only son to die for us. You know, the other night I was watching a movie, and it was based on a book called The Shack. And this one scene, I love it, where the main character, he's angry at God. And he meets with wisdom. And he's challenged by wisdom to sit in the seat of judgment and judge things shown to him because he's been judging God. At first, it's not a problem for him to judge because he's shown murderers and he's shown terrorists and drug dealers, a man beating his wife and child. Easy to judge those. But then he's shown a man, that same man as a child, but he doesn't know that that child that he's looking at that is the man growing up. And this little boy, he asks him, will you judge him? Well, no, he's just a little boy. And then you see this little boy's father beat on him. He says, now that father I judge. And then he tells him, well, this little boy is the same man that grew up to be Bill, a wife beater and a child beater. And it kind of stops him in his tracks. He is a child. Then wisdom does something else. She says, now I need you to judge these two. And his children are put before him, his son and his daughter. He says, pick one. All have sinned, right? Pick one. Who's going to hell? And he says, I can't. She says, you must. He says, I won't. I can't. But you have to. And she keeps pushing him, and he refuses. And he says, no, take me. If someone has to go, take me. And her response is, so you've judged them worthy of love. You've judged your children worthy of love. And does not God get that same opportunity? He has judged us worthy of love, even though we are as deserving as anyone that has made mistakes. But he judged us worthy of love and then did something. Pick me, Jesus said. Pick me. I'll do this. Because we've been judged worthy of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, the Lamb of God, born to take away our sins and reconcile us back to the Father. The one who said, take me. Jesus is the reason for our season, for this season. More than the reason we celebrate with joy. When we think about we've been found, judged worthy of love. And the God of all creation sent his one and only Son for each of us. We can sit and rejoice. We can stand and rejoice. We can go out and rejoice. We should share the joy of who he is and what he has done, where we just can't contain it, this joy that we have in him because of what he's done. Our opening verse, you made known to me the paths of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the path of life. And he has filled you and me with his joy because his presence is within us. And we will sit down, and we have sat down at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus with eternal pleasures in Jesus at that right hand forevermore. That's just the beginning. That's just a tiny bit of what we have to be joyful for and about. It doesn't matter what the news says. We know the good news. Amen? Why don't you stand with me as I light the joy candle? And I pray this week that you remember and are constantly reminded of Jesus, the one who brings us joy, because he has fulfilled all things in the Father's name. Father, thank you for each and every person here this morning. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, we rejoice, for you are here. You've come. You've taken away the sins of the world. And that you have come to dwell in man. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue to celebrate this season of your birth and what it means to us, let us continually walk in that hope, the peace, and the joy that you have given us. Father, we just lift up all the names that are in this box, all the prayer requests. Not one of them have you missed seeing. You know them all. Where there is a need for health and wholeness, we pray for that. Where there is need for reconciliation, we pray for that. And where there is just a sense of lack, we thank you. You are the God of plenty, and that you will meet them, their needs, with abundance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And as we go from this place, we want to rejoice in you and celebrate you, Jesus.